Welcome back to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. For many, being single is a blessing, a time to pursue things like education and career success. But for others, it's a time of deep discontentment and loneliness. But God's desire for our lives remains the same. What does it look like to live a life that is pleasing to God when you're single? My friend Adrian Judd, graduate of Freed Hardeman University, joins me on the show to talk about all of this and so much more on this week's episode. I'm Tyler Wall, and this is Road Trips. All right, Adrian Judd, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we begin, a couple of things. One, for our audience, those who may not know, you and I were roommates at Freed Hardeman for a semester. And so if you're listening and you're thinking like, man, these two sound like long lost brothers. Well, there's some context to that.
Yes,
there's some history there. So yeah, no. Yes. You were the best roommate I had that was named Adrian, for sure.
Well, thank you. You were the best roommate I had named Tyler as well.
Oh, so. Man. I was hoping to make it in the top 10.
Yes.
Okay. Top 10. So, all right. So I've got just a random question for you. I know you're a big Tennessee Vols fan. They're looking good. Yes. Going into March Madness. We are recording this on March the 20th. So is the first kind of official day of the bracket. I know you had the two playing games, but you know. So you said you filled out a lot of brackets, but if you could maybe pick one, maybe two, who were your four teams that were in the final four?
So I watched the SEC all year because UT, the University of Tennessee, the real UT, is in the SEC. So I am very biased towards the SEC, and that's the name of my bracket that I probably put in the most brackets just for fun. So my final four teams are Auburn, Florida, Alabama, and Tennessee. All SEC teams.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I'm just like that.
Well, I mean, you already started out with some fighting words saying the real UT.
Exactly.
Hopefully no Texas fans are listening to this. I mean,
I'm going to say, me and you, though, probably don't have the best warm feelings towards Texas.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, no. So. Texas is not necessarily our favorite place.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's some great people from Texas. I've got best friends from Texas, but.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't watch sports though. So
just keep it at that, you know.
Yes.
Draw the line at sports and then that's it. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about something that I believe is really important to talk about. Maybe something that doesn't get talked about enough within the church. And that is singleness in the context of the church, in the context of our faith. So singleness as a Christian is supposed to look different than singleness within the world. So what would you say is the difference between biblical or Christ-like singleness and the singleness you might find in the world?
Yes, this is an excellent question because as Christians, we are called to be different from the world in every aspect of our lives. And in a lot of ways, I think this issue of dating can be one of the most distinguishing aspects of being a Christian, especially in the context of being single. And we could use really this question for the entire show, but I'll just use one example. I think a lot about a culture of hookup culture is the big thing in the world, one night stand, that kind of thing. And a lot of ways like that with the world, it's not relational in some respects. If we're just being very honest about it, we can get dating apps, you know, to just scroll until I find something that I'm like, oh, that's a match or whatever. And just a lot of things like that. Whereas as a Christian, really the first thing that we're looking for is, I think, people who share some of the same values that we do, people who go to the same place we do on Sunday, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I like how you presented it more as kind of the, on the dating scene, the things you're looking for might be different. Whereas maybe worldly singleness, it's a little less relational and it's more transactional, unfortunately. Yeah. And whereas biblical singleness, perhaps you're looking for someone who shares the same values, who is, is within the faith that you share. But I also think that maybe it changes the way you're living your life, and it changes maybe the intentionality you put behind all the things that you do. And so it changes your outlook on many different things, and it makes your life a little more with a purpose than just simply looking for someone.
If that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I love the word that you used with purpose. I think that's a really big thing, because for the Christian, we're getting into this more, but as people of God, like, I'm not just in it for what I can get out of it, right? Going back to that transactional aspect of things, but there's a deeper meaning to my life than just trying to find pleasure or find someone who I think can satisfy my wants and my desires. But it's a lot more, what would God have me to do, you know, in every aspect of my life?
Right. So I think with, I don't even want to say struggling with singleness, because it's not like it's a sin.
Right.
But maybe for someone who is single, and maybe they're in a position that they don't want to be single, which is fine. We were talking about that before. Yeah. Like, it's okay to have that desire to have a relationship. But you kind of have to learn this lesson on contentment. And so I wanted to ask you, how has singleness provided a lesson in your life on being content?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is great. A really, really important thing when we talk about, again, being in our 20s or something like that and finding contentment. And it should be pointed out, I think there are people who do not want to be in a relationship. There are people who perpetually want to be single. And again, we'll probably talk about this later as well. That's perfectly fine. If that is something that you desire, is just, I want to live my life and live a little bit for God. And that's perfectly fine and well and good. For sure. I mean, you can do a lot of great things for the Lord in doing that. But I think, I'm not even going to say for most of us, I think for several of us, though, there are, we want to have a relationship. We want to be in connection with people in a, not just Christian brothers and sisters way, but a deeper connection, something working towards marriage. And this idea of contentment, it really, for me, my personal life, probably the most I've ever thought about this was going through my sophomore or my junior year, which is close to the time I met you, Tyler, as well. And I, during that time, read a lot about love and what does love really look like? Because as we've already talked about, love in the world looks like passion, really, in a lot of respects. But if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, love is not just for couples. Love is for the church, to not trying to put one person over the other person. And my favorite verse that I've put in my bedroom and other places actually is from Romans, in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. And I think it sums up really everything to do with it. It says, let love be genuine. And I could talk about this for a long time, but if we really have genuine love, authentic love in every single thing that we're doing, then you're going to find that God has that for you, and you can find contentment in that. And if you have that for other people, you're going to have friends, you're going to have brothers and sisters out there around you, and you'll have also love for yourself, which can also be a challenge, but it can be very rewarding as well.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, just thinking of love, not just in a romantic relationship, but it's finding those people to love in all aspects of your life. It was the second episode that we did. We talked about discontentment, and my guest said that oftentimes we get contentment and happiness we kind of get that mixed up. We think contentment means mm-hmm. happiness. And I think with singleness, I think that's a really important distinguishment to make. I don't know if it's wrong to necessarily be a little unhappy with your singleness, but also we are called to be content in the situation that we find ourselves in. And so contentment looks like loving the people that are around you, you know, no matter where you find yourself in your life. And that's a really good lesson to learn. And I like that you were saying that you've got brothers and sisters in Christ to love. You've got friends. You have your family. Just because it's not in that romantic capacity doesn't mean that your love is being wasted. And so I think that's an important distinction for us to make.
Yeah. I would also add, and I want to be very careful of how I phrase this as well, but I know it's very true in my own life, but if for the person who is struggling, because oftentimes when we are discontent, I think in relationships or otherwise, really we feel like it can feel very lonely, right? And what has helped me is not just for us, the people around me, but if I am God says that I'm going to give you, Christian, everything that you need for life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So I ask myself the question, what does it look like for me to find contentment, or how do I let God even fill me up with his love? And it's not to say I don't need other people to love me. That's not what I'm trying to communicate at all. But when you are, just like, again, for personal experience, when you're by yourself in your room, by yourself living life, and you take time just to reflect, just think about all the ways, again, how can I let God fill up my entire life with his love? And that's hard. And again, it takes a lot of, because I know, like, Jesus loves me, this I know, right? But again, there's really not words I can describe it until you really go through it to describe how much more the depths and riches of God's grace and his love can be extended towards you, the more that you accept that and let that, I guess, just encapsulate every aspect of your life.
That's so true. And I think that may be a hard reality for us to accept, because we can see others physically loving us and caring for us. And sometimes, for whatever reason, we can kind of be blinded in our own lives to the love of God. And I'm so glad you brought that up. And I know it's like you were saying, you kind of want to be careful, because you don't want to be talking to someone and they're saying, hey, I'm single. I wish that I wasn't. I see everyone around me, they're getting married, all this. And you don't want to just say, well, God loves you, so you shouldn't be struggling with it, or right, you shouldn't be facing this. I think there's different ways to go about that. But I mean, you're just so true. And I think when we look for others to fill that void of the love of God, then we'll always be disappointed. If we expect love from a person to fill the need for God's love, then we're always going to be disappointed, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, there's, this is definitely a rabbit trail, but there's definitely a difference also between, you know, wanting love and wanting attention. I know you and I talked a lot about that when we were, you know, roommates, and I don't want to go too far down that, but, you know, I think that that's an important thing. You know, these are important things, to kind of bring up. But I love what you're saying there. It's just saturate your life with the love of God first and foremost. Yes. He loves you. He created you. He sent his son to die for you. He gave you that opportunity to be reconciled to him, you know, to be called his child. I mean, that's the kind of love that he's got for you. So, you know, as difficult as it is sometimes, we just need to saturate our lives with that love first and foremost. So I'm glad you brought that up. I remember having a lot of, man, this is all coming back to, I forgot our room number, but man, this is all, this is all coming back. This is really good. So what are some things you've probably noticed, you know, just how the church maybe goes about singleness and the way we talk about singleness? What are some things the church can maybe improve on when it comes to how we talk about or how we deal with singleness?
Yes, this is excellent to consider for several reasons. And I want to say this without trying to be very judgmental or harsh. Not all singleness is the same. We've already mentioned there are people in this world, as hard as it may be to understand, but there are people who want to be single, and that is all that they want. They just, and they want to either, I've seen this, people want to quit their education, which usually involves terminal degrees or otherwise advanced degrees, or they want to get the dream job, they want to live in the dream location. And that plan, whether it's a man or a woman, does not involve someone else in their lives. God's involved. He's at the forefront. But they want to do their thing. And I respect that. I have a lot of respect for those kind of people. And as the church, let's understand that those people exist. And we don't need to shame those people in making their lifestyle choices, even though they may drastically look different than anything anyone else has done in our local congregations or otherwise. So I'll say there's that kind of singleness first. There's another type of singleness, and I think probably the singleness we talked about the most already, is the people who are single and they do not desire that at the current moment. They want a relationship. And let me say it again, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think the way that I've seen this play out in the people I've met at Fried Hardeman and other places that I've grown up, it is not the job of the local church to fix that for them. And some people, I'm sure, may like that either family or friends have connections, have people they know. But again, as someone who has life experience really on that side of things, unless a single person really asks you probably for to meet people, if I could just say in the most loving way possible, you don't have to be the one to set them up. You don't have to be the one to bring up Joe Schmo or Susie Q. You may think Joe Schmo and Susie Q are the best people in the entire world, and they very well might be, and I'm sure they are great Christians in the Lord. But that is not always the most helpful thing for people going through that. And then I'll say there's a third category of person, and sometimes this is who gets stereotyped as the same group of person. There are people who are single right now, and to the mature and to the trained eye of all those who love them in their life, there's probably a reason that they are single in their life. We love those people. We all have things to grow in. And maybe just for some of those people, they just need a little bit more time to develop and to mature. And maybe still maybe desiring a relationship. But like, again, as we know, they need some more tools. They need some more wisdom to accumulate in order to sustain a long-term relationship that's going towards marriage for one reason or another. And to those people, I say, like, as Christians in Lord's Church, even though you may see that and you may know that or understand or think that you do, you can sometimes, very often, you may not see the entire picture, one. And two, if you're close to that person or love that person, let's invite those people into our lives, into just a relationship, but let's not sit them down on the church pew and give them list A to Z. Hey, this is why you're single. Hey, this is why you need to do things different. Let's develop a relationship and continue those things.
Yeah, you said a lot of good stuff there. And I think it goes back to what James was talking about when he was talking about favoritism and status. I don't know if we see that, or we say we don't maybe see that as much in the modern church settings, but I think we can in some aspects, and we need to be really careful about that. No matter, you know, what realm you're in, the single, dating, married scene, you are just as valuable to the kingdom of God and to God himself as a Christian than to anyone else. So I think we need to be careful in the language and the phrases that we use. And I like what you said about not making assumptions. I think that that's so true. We don't know maybe the full story of people. I think we need to be careful about that, and realizing that I think what you brought up a couple times already is that singleness for many is their choice. They're trying to focus on other things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. And so if we as the church are constantly saying, oh, why aren't you married yet? You need to be. Well, then maybe we're not being the loving brothers and sisters in Christ as we should be. So I think you brought up a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. And I'll just add, like, just one very practical thing as it relates to this question, such like if you're not single, right? And if you're a person who right now who's listening, you're like, I'm trying to understand singleness. I'm trying to help single people in my life that I grow in love, and like they're in my church or they're in my family. The number one thing I can tell you that can be the most helpful is just be there for those people, okay? Because they're still trying to figure some things out. They're usually doing the very best they can for where they are at in life. And if you can just be a person that loves on them and that always offers a listening ear, and trust me, if you do those things, then they will develop the trust with you enough to maybe they may ask, hey, do you know someone who might be, you know, compatible with me or something like that? And that's when you know that you've developed the right kind of relationship. But until then, usually it is not as easily received before that.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's important for us to talk about, especially within the church. We talk about, you know, holding marriage in a very high regard, and that is so important. That's so important. But we should also hold all people in high regard, honor all people, and love all people, not just for what they could potentially be as future good spouses, but who they are now, and realize the impact and the benefit that they can be making on the church right now. And we talked about this, but there are certain things that you can do when you are single that may not be totally available to you spiritually when you're married. Kind of like what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, there may be some things that you can take advantage of when you are single. And I think that that's also important for us to talk about. So speaking of Paul, who are some examples from the Bible that we can learn from when it comes to faithful singleness?
Yes. I think this is excellent as well to think about both those examples. Another one person that always comes up in these conversations is Paul, because Paul is the one who's wrote a lot of our New Testament and traveled much of the known world at that time to spread the gospel to so many people. But in preparing for this podcast, and I really like to study even more, is several, I think, also of the prophets that were told about in the Old Testament. Obviously, not all of them, but it seems to be that several of them, they either are not married or they do not have a record of having wife. Now, that's not true of everybody, okay? But again, go back in. I would especially encourage you to study prophets. And to me, that's very interesting because it goes back to our conversation we had earlier about the connection that we have with God and how you let God fill up everything that is in your life. And this is most clearly seen in Paul because, again, we're very much more familiar with the New Testament. And Paul obviously is a very busy man, but he, before even becoming a Christian, Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was concerned about learning. He was concerned about zeal for the law. And if there was ever anyone who wanted to do anything right, it was Paul. Like, Paul was very committed to doing that. And his dedication to the Lord is almost unmatched into what we can imagine. And so I don't want to belabor that point too much and such, but we can see very much, I guess, very prominently the effects of how people, single Christian people in the past have made an impact for God.
I like the example of the prophets. That's something that kind of like you, I hadn't really considered or really thought about. And I think Paul does such a good job in the New Testament of doing exactly what we're called to be, of honoring marriage, but also honoring singleness and saying, look, there's amazing benefits to both. There's amazing benefits to both because there's always going to be a benefit of being a part of God's kingdom. There's always going to be a benefit and good that comes from being a part of the family of God. You know, obedience looks different depending on the stage of life that you're in. Being like Jesus, it may look different in different capacities. There's, you know, commands that are always going to be the same, you know, love one another, spread the good news, be a good brother or sister in Christ to your fellow Christians. But the way you go about doing those things may look different depending on if you're single or dating or married, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I think it's all about really the opportunities, right, that we are given. And this was even talked about a little bit, the lectureship this past week. But the point was said that a lot of sometimes single Christians, they have the ability, if you're like, hey, we need to send someone to a foreign country to check on mission work next week, can you do this? And if you're married and you have kids and your boy or your girl's basketball game is going on and it's their championship game, like, sorry, I'm not going to be involved in my kid's life. But for the single person, like, yeah, like, sign me up. Let me go do this. Let me take advantage of this opportunity. And I would be very excited to see, again, it was said at lectureship, not my words, having Christian singles in our congregation is usually a very undertapped resource. And what would it look like if instead of having, again, having Christian singles just be who they are right now, or if it's like, hey, we want to actively involve you in what we're doing with all these different projects. We want to involve you maybe where we can involve some other people. Like, God only knows how that could impact the kingdom.
Yeah, that's so true. And just kind of to wrap this thought up, I would assume, you know, going to your kid's basketball game or whatever, doing that, there's honor in that. There's glory to God in that. There's way to shine your lights in that. That's why, you know, a lot of people call their homes their mission field. And that is so true. I think if we could sum up this conversation so far, it's being obedient to God, living a life that's pleasing to God. that can be done in any capacity, and that can be done with singleness. So last question, just kind of as we close, what are some practical ways we can be more like Jesus during times of singleness?
Yes, yes. And I think this perfectly ties into what we've been talking about with obedience. Is to me, in just reflecting on, I've been a Christian for over 10 years. And when I got to that 10-year mark, I was like, okay, I mean, I know I was young when I made the decision, but if it's going to be over my half of my life that I've dedicated myself to this, I need to make sure I'm doing this right. And so to me, what obedience looks like, what faith looks like in a dedicated way, is I want to be doing the most with what I have been given today. Now, it's very hard for me personally to always just focus on the today part of things, because I want this in the future. I want those relationships. I want that education. I want that job. But I think everything that God has told us is, again, give us this day our daily bread, and you shall be satisfied with what I've given you. So bringing that to this question about practical ways we can be like Jesus during times of singleness, we didn't talk about too much, but like Jesus is obviously, as in everything, he's the ultimate example. Jesus didn't marry. Jesus didn't have kids. And throughout his entire life, we see one of service. We see one of ministry. We see him having compassion on the crowds of people. We see him healing and teaching, and again, using everything that he had been given by the Father to accomplish his will, to accomplish his purpose, which to me brings to me the question of, what do I want the purpose of my life to be? And here at Free Hardman, we say it's for his glory. And when I think about what does that mean practically, about practical ways I can be more like Jesus in times of singleness, well, I'll start with one. One is, keep the big picture in view. Realize who God is, what God can do for you. But along with that, number two, the other side of the point is, realize what's going, look at the smaller picture, look at today. And for a lot of, either for me and for a lot of other people I've talked about or talked to, it's very hard for us to focus on just today as single people, because again, I want to have that dream marriage. I want to leave that dream spot, have this many kids, whatever. And so it's, today is not comfortable. Today is, it's messy and it's not perfect. But realize, and I think this is where it kind of ties back into the beginning, God loves me today just as much as he loved me 5 years ago, just as much as he's going to love me for the rest of my entire life. And if I can just, again, use the most of what I've been given, if I try to walk in the light as he's in the light, he's going to be pleased. And that's all I need to worry about, is trying to please him and satisfy him. I hope that's not too simplistic at all, but it's what's helped me.
No, that is so good. I love that. We recently had a lesson on Noah, and the title was just called Faithful Obedience. And kind of like the main idea, the main point was that faithful obedience to God looks like taking those steps every single day, piece by piece. Because if you think about it, Noah spent years and years building that ark for something that no one had ever seen before. And he's also the only person, and we assume his family as well, he's the only person that's being faithful to God. He's the only person who's living a life like this. And so there could have easily been sometimes, trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. There could have been sometimes when he might have thought, like, God, what's happening here? Like, what am I really doing? But he kept building that ark piece by piece. He sends the animals in two by two. It's just laying the foundation, laying the groundwork. It's day by day. And you're exactly right. I mean, it's so hard, no matter what stage in life you're in, you're always going to have an opportunity to not be present, to not be in the moment. The point is, that's why I love so much of what you said, is that obedience is being present in the moment with God. Because when you're not present, when you're not there, when you're constantly looking forward to 5 years from now or 10 years from now, then you could miss out on some of the opportunities to be present to God right now, to be present to God today. And so I think that that's a really good point. And then just to close with just saturating your with the love of God. Of course, you think about Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. That'd be a great place to close. Here's 38 through 39. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul doesn't say that's all true, but only if you're married. He doesn't say that. And I think that that's important for us to think about.
Absolutely.
Well, Adrian, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a blessing.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.